Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a very good way to develop one's prayer life is to practice what is called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina, a divine reading, a sacred reading. And this Lectio Divina is all about pondering the events that are recounted in the Gospels. One reads a passage slowly, taking note of the words which set the scene, describe the action, name the persons involved, as well as their emotions or psychological state. And then one places oneself in the very scene, either as one of the persons named in the action, or perhaps a witness to what was described, what was going on. And then as one continues to reflect on the passage, it is helpful to identify one's own reactions, one's own thoughts, and a personal response, and to ask oneself what meaning the event or the teaching has for my life now, today. The same question could apply to a specific teaching of the Lord. And this type of prayer is a way of drawing close to God in a deep and personal way. And it should result in a concrete resolution regarding one's relationship with God, with oneself, or with others. What struck me the most in today's gospel passage was the sentence, "Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus." See? St. Peter actually walked on the surface of the sea. Incredible. You know, years ago, I told a professor when I was in college, I told a professor friend of mine that for graduate school, I would really like to go to either Penn or Princeton. And he told me, well, if you get a graduate degree from either institution, you could walk on water. As it turned out, I didn't go to either Penn or Princeton, and so I've never walked on water. Peter walked on the surface of the sea, a symbol of the abyss, of death, of chaos. Remember, the Jews were not a seafaring people. They were people of the land. Peter must have been thrilled. Peter must have been thrilled. You know, of course, nothing in our experience exactly replicates that, right? I mean, as I pondered the passage, I thought of the times I've stood on a high dive. When I was younger, my cousins, my aunt and uncle, they belonged to a swimming pool in New Jersey, and the pool had a low dive and a high dive. And I'll never forget jumping off that high dive. In fact, I only jumped once. I went again, but I didn't jump. I dove, you see. That way you don't feel anything in your stomach, right? It's so exciting. Why? Once you get on that board, there's no way down except to go into the pool. And then I remember when I was in college, I was high above the theater, way much higher than the roof of this church, on a catwalk, setting lights for the musical. And then I actually worked a spotlight for the show, and that was very exciting, very thrilling. And then I remember being one time up on the top deck, the observation deck of the Empire State Building. And, you know, when you go onto the observation deck of the Empire State Building, I don't know if it's still the same now, but years ago when I went up there, it was open air. Open air. So thrilling and exciting. And yet, as thrilling as these experiences were for me, St. Peter's was of a vastly greater magnitude. And let's remember, my friends, that Peter walked on the water because he put the Lord Jesus to the test. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter and the disciples were terrified, St. Matthew tells us, when they saw Jesus walking on the water. They cried out in fear. And yet, there's an obvious question that should come to us. Why couldn't Jesus walk on the sea? He had just miraculously fed 5,000 men. That's what we heard about last Sunday. Of his own power, he had cured countless sick people. Over and over again, the disciples were witnesses to Christ's divine power. Why were the disciples afraid? Why were they afraid? Why didn't they believe that it really was Jesus coming to them across the sea? Why did Peter's spirit fail? Jesus answers these questions in the question he put to Peter. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? The disciples had little faith. St. Mark, who in his gospel was relentless in pointing out the dullness of the disciples during Jesus' public ministry, said of this event, they were completely astounded. They had not understood the incident of the loaves. On the contrary, their hearts were hardened. Happily, after Jesus brought Peter into the boat and calmed the wind, St. Matthew tells us they did him homage, saying, truly you are the Son of God. The disciples began to recognize in Jesus of Nazareth the presence of God. And recognizing the presence of God, dear brothers and sisters, is the unifying theme of today's readings. In our first reading, the prophet Elijah, who had been sent by God's messenger to Mount Horeb, another name for Mount Sinai, is told to await God who would come to him. Obeying the Lord, he went outside the cave and stood on the mountain. The prophet fearlessly withstood the strong wind, an earthquake, and a supernatural fire. Knowing that God was not in any of those things. But as soon as he heard the tiny whispering sound, as soon as he heard that, then he retreated to the entrance of the cave and covered his face with a cloak. Elijah was sensitive to the presence of God. Recall that Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God moving in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord because they had sinned. On that occasion, the Lord revealed himself in a gentle breeze. Who are those, dear brothers and sisters, who are those who recognize the presence of God? Or as today's psalm expresses it, who can hear what God proclaims? The same psalm gives us the answer. Those who hear the Lord and those for whom his salvation is near are those who fear him. Those who fear him. Fear of the Lord, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit, is a firm and abiding respect for God. A firm and abiding respect for God. It is at the heart of any genuinely religious disposition. This holy fear manifests itself in adoration, in dedicated worship of the Lord. And it serves to draw a person toward deeper faith in God. Thus, fear of the Lord is a springboard, so to speak, of confidence, of trust in God's love. One who fears God knows that he is a father whose providence surrounds his people and cares for their needs. One's relationship with God is a lived awareness of being an adopted son or daughter, so that this inner disposition of love expels any sense of fear, of punishment, so that what motivates him or her is a desire to reveal God's glory. Think of that. Fear of the Lord prompts in one a desire to reveal God's glory. One who has the fear of the Lord realizes not only that God can do anything, but also that everyone called by God has a particular and irreplaceable part to play in the work of salvation. Think of that. A particular and irreplaceable part to play in the work of salvation. This was the key insight of St. John Henry Newman. To live to know that particular vocation, to know what is my irreplaceable and particular part to play in the work of salvation, to know this, that specific task to do for God, is the most exciting and fulfilling aspect of one's life. Yes, the joy of life is to make God and His glory known to others. St. Paul has great sorrow and constant anguish in his heart because Israel, as a people in general, has failed to accept the gospel, despite the fact that God's promises of salvation were first made to the Jews, whom Paul calls my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. Time and again, Paul would evangelize by proclaiming Jesus Christ and the gospel to the Jews of the diaspora, but it was mostly the Gentiles, not the Jews, who accepted him. That he could wish that he were accursed, as he says, we heard it in the reading, that he could wish that he were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of his own people, shows how much he loved them. How much he loved them. God's love moves Christians to love others so intensely that they are ready to suffer anything if it means the conversion of others to God. If it will help them recognize the presence of God in their lives. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, drawing close to God in a deep and personal way, whether through Lectio Divina or some other form of meditation, should help us to realize how close God is to us, how close God is to us, and how much He loves us. And that, in turn, should inflame our hearts to work, like St. Paul and all the saints, for the salvation of souls. It starts with those close to us, within the family, with one's spouse, with the children, and then expanding outward to relatives and friends, co-workers, neighbors, and even strangers. Because the reality is, for a Christian, no one is really a stranger. Because Christ died for all. Christ died for everyone. Let us ask the Holy Spirit then today to renew us with His gift of holy fear, so that we may have an abiding respect for God and become sensitive to the ways in which He is working in our lives. May our minds and hearts be open to the presence of God who is with us. Like St. Peter, we too can do unimaginable and powerful things to reveal the glory of God to others. Like the prophet Elijah, we can be fearless in the face of the storms that beset us. And like St. Paul, we can persevere in this joyful vocation, even amid any setbacks in our lives. So after receiving Holy Communion today, let us say from the depths of our hearts to Jesus, truly you are the Son of God.